Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jean and I'm from Bendigo and I'm an alcoholic, previously from Dandenong. So you all know who I am. I'm here today because I'm a recovering alcoholic and I have a threefold disease, mental, physical and spiritual. And I was very grateful to find that out when I attended my first meeting in 1961. Today I'm living the life that I really want to live. That has only been given to me through the continuity of meetings, my love for my fellow man, and the program, and a God as I've come to understand. I haven't remained sober for 24 years, but I haven't needed or wanted to drink for over 22 years. I don't say that egotistically. I say that because of the new member who may be sitting in this room today and looking for a little bit of hope, as I did when I came to my first meeting. Because I heard a gentleman get up and said his name was Albie, he was a fisherman and he was sober. And he hadn't needed or wanted a drink for either 2 years or just on 2 years. And I safely said to myself, these people must have something. Because I could remain sober for 13 months, full of misery, full of everything, doom and gloom. Certainly wasn't happy about it. And this man gave me a little bit of hope. Because, as I said, I'm an alcoholic. I was a derelict drunk. I finished in the gutter. I'm an ex-barmaid. Knew all about booze. A lot of good people who weren't alcoholics used to say to me, Gene, why don't you stop drinking? But nobody showed me how. But Alcoholics Anonymous showed me how. In 1961, honesty, open-mindedness and willingness. The honesty was self-honesty. The willingness I had to go to any length to get what these people had to offer. I heard a cliche said here this morning, I think it was Jack, and you see, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, they didn't suggest anything to you. They told you. And they said to me, Gene, take the cotton wool out of your ears, stuff it in your mouth and listen up big. Don't miss what we have to offer. Now, I liked what they said to me, because that was the way that I had to get sober. I couldn't stand people pussyfooting me, saying you may get sober, you know. And they said to me, Gene, you have to do something about the steps. And we were talking about this coming up this morning or coming down, doesn't make any difference. And you hear people get up and say, you know, don't bother about the steps. Well, I'd like to know how they stay sober if you don't bother about the steps, because that is a program for living. You see, I'd tried every other venue in my life because I was 30 years of age when I picked up my first drink. And I was in the gutter over 40. I don't know whether I was born an alcoholic or I picked it up along the way. It doesn't really matter today. The thing that matters is that I know what I am and I'm prepared to do something about it. Sobriety doesn't come easy, and neither did the booze that I drank come easy. I was never a part-time drinker and I'm not a part-time member of this fellowship. I believe in the big book because they put it in black and white for me to read, and they said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And I drank after 19 months. I drank for 2.5 hours and it was the sickest I've ever been after 13 years of drinking. Because I didn't go back to where I'd started. I went back 19 months previously. It took me 3 months to get back to Alcoholics Anonymous and I only drank for 2.5 hours. And it took me a 600 mile trip back to Sydney. And I know why today, because I was full of guilt and filthy pride. And if you haven't suffered from those things as a practicing alcoholic, I tell you what, that was enough to drive me insane. The guilt that I drank of. And the guilt that I had as a practicing alcoholic previously. For the people that I'd harmed, that were near and dear to me. My daughter that I threw out and belted with a buckle end of a strap, who told me I was an alcoholic, and she was 15 and a half years of age. It's been said here this morning, we don't like the truth about ourselves. So in this fellowship, you've got to cop and cope for two C's. I had to cop it off people I didn't even know. that was trying to tell me that there was a way out of the mess that I'd got myself into, providing I surrendered to win. And that's not easy, because when we come to this fellowship, we're beaten in all sorts of avenues. But the arrogance and the ego, no way. Because I went along, I was taken by this daughter of mine to see the picture of Lillian Roth, and I'll cry tomorrow. And had that woman ever got anybody else sober, she got this one sober. Through her story, as a practicing alcoholic. And I went along that night. I hadn't had a drink. I was reasonably well dressed. I was the mother of a teenager. I had money in my pocket and I had a job. And what else did I need? And after the picture, my daughter said to me, "Mummy, what did you think of the picture?" I said, "I thoroughly enjoyed it." And she said to me, "That's you." And my reply was, "Don't be ridiculous, I'm nothing like Susan Hayward. How's that for ego?" You see, I didn't know I had ego then, but I learned. And I know the true meaning of the word ego today is ease God out. And after seeing that picture, that was the picture that brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous, but it was 8 years later, when all else had failed, and I was sick and tired of being sick. And if you're an alcoholic, you know the sickness I'm talking about. I don't have to describe it, because it's indescribable. I chased doctors and full-scale x-ray routines, all this sort of thing, shock treatment, and all to no avail. And I found, when I came back the second time, that the foundation of my sobriety today is the word honesty, and that's self-honesty. The first four steps that are written on the wall is acceptance, and the other eight are spiritual. I didn't like the word God because I'd learned of a God of fear as a child, and I despised a God. No way was I going to fall for this victim. And somebody said to me one night, "Gene, put another O in it and make it good. But if you take both O's out, you've got nothing." And that made sense to this alcoholic. You see, you don't need intelligence, you don't need money, you don't need a university degree to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. All it takes is the honest desire to stop drinking. I'm glad that they didn't delete that word honesty when I came in. So I got fair dinkum with Gene, and I had to do a lot about Gene, but not about anybody else. Because I was the one that came in with the problem, not my next-door neighbour. And I had to sit down, and I had to take stock. And I couldn't cheat. Because if I cheated, the older members knew. And they used to say to me in those days, "How are you going, Gene?" And I'd say, "Fine, thanks," the big plastic smile. And they'd grab you by the wrist and they'd say, "Well, how are you going, Fred Inkin?" And I feel about that high. I've been chucked to pieces from the floor by older members. Not intentionally, but indirectly. Because they were telling me the truth and I didn't like it. And I either had to stay with the fellowship and cop it, or go out and drink. It's as simple as that. But they said to me, "Gene, if you stay with us, you might drink. But if you leave Alcoholics Anonymous, you'll drink for sure." And I've been to so many unnecessary funerals. Because people came in and says, "No, I'm different." I hope there's nobody here today that thinks they're different. If you are, give yourself time. And that's a very nasty word in this fellowship, time. Because we hate it. Because everywhere I'd go, I'd say, "Give it time, give it time." I'd think to myself, if you say time again, I'll scream. Then I spoke to Dr. Eugene Fitzpatrick, who was the top psychiatrist at Royal Park, and he was also a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said to him, I said, "What happens up here?" See, I had very quick recuperative powers physically, but up here mentally, no. And this is where my disease is, between my ears. And I said, "How long does it take for this to unscramble?" He says, "Gene, you're looking at 3 to 5 years. And it was a big shock to me, because I thought I was so intelligent, so young. But today I can turn around and say, well, that doctor was wrong, because it took me 10 years. So I don't want to put you off track, but don't be in a hurry, because you've got a lifetime. You see, it's a journey, it's not a destination. So I had to surrender to win, and I had to talk to people about my shortcomings and my defects of character, people whom I could trust. And I did the fourth step with a Salvation Army officer. And after, he said to me, "Why didn't you take it with another alcoholic?" I said, "If he or she picks up a drink, it'll be the first thing they'll blurt out." So I got to a Salvation Army officer. You see, I learned something. Today, I've lost some wonderful friends in this fellowship, and I've had the golden handshakes of the Kitts and the Minnie Browns and the Helens and the Bill Brodricks, the Terry O'Cs. These were the people that was around, the hardcore members. And they left a wonderful message for this girl. Well, shall I say, 22 years of age. I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm old enough to vote. Kit used to say to me, I was about 6 months sober and I met her in a place called The Bowl in Little Collins Street years ago, where the Alkies used to go, and there'd be one or two strong members there and the rest would be new, and you'd be all ears, wanting to know how to stay sober. And you'd be able to talk to these people, and poor old Kit came up to me and she said, "Oh, you're new, darling, are you?" And I said, "Yes, I've been in the fellowship 6 months." "Oh. Well, you know, darling," she said, "when you get mentally sober, you'll be able to sort out the sheep from the goats, and you'll find more goats than sheep." That one was true, too. You see, I never ever doubted what these people told me because of their honesty and their sincerity. Today, I'm living the life that I really want to live because I think it was about 8 or 9 years when I found myself, and that was the greatest thing that ever happened to this alcoholic because I didn't know who I was or what I was. Today I know where I'm going and where I've been this morning. We've been travelling since about 8:45, and it's been fantastic being on a Sunday morning road, you know, with no hangover. And I think to myself, even this morning I waved to the police. You know, that's something new. Is that past, you know? Because I realise today they're human. And it's lovely when you're driving up and you can give them a wave, you know. Before, when they arrested me, I didn't give them a wave. I give them a hard time. Especially Bumper Farrell, when he says to me, "What's your name?" And I told him, he said, "How do you spell it?" I said, "Didn't you go to school, you bludger?" And then there was another one, of course, I always call him Uncle Jack, and my associate and I that used to drink together, she was a barmaid too, but I think today she's dead. God rest her soul anyway. And he was waiting out the front for the big paddy wagon, and she looked up at him and she said, "Excuse me, sir, but you look like one of my uncles." He says, "Do I now?" He says, "Well, you don't look like two of my nieces. Get in." And, you see, it's laughable today, but it wasn't laughable in those days. It was humiliating, it was hurtful. And, you know, these people cause me resentment. I don't get resentments today, I give them. You see? And that's the beauty of this fellowship. Because when you're up here, you've got freedom of speech. And it's not what I say from the floor, it's how them, those, or they interpret it. Because I can't change your thinking, but I can change mine. But today, as I say, I'm living the life that AA promised me. It says, "Gene, one day you'll find yourself," and I did. When I found myself, I found a fellow man. When I found a fellow man, I found a God as I've come to understand. Today, I'm maturing in age. And, you know, I've got a walking stick, I've got false teeth and grey hair and glasses. These are the fringe benefits you get. So, you know, don't think you're too smart that it's not going to happen to you, because it will. But today, you know, I know myself, I can be myself and I can live with myself, and that is fantastic. Today I will leave you with the clichés that mean something to me, and they go like this. First things first is to take care of our drinking, and all the rest will fall into place. Easy does it, helps us moderate our taste. Live and let live is the maxim, old, not new. Be kind to thy neighbour and to thyself be true. I'm good at reciting verses, but sometimes it seems odd. For I'd be a drunkard at your feet if it weren't but for the grace of God.